أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, tonight we will try to give a list of the things that a person shouldn't do to order his brother. Since last time we were speaking about something, time before that we were speaking about things he should do to order his brother, the things he's supposed to do. But now we will tell you the things that you are not supposed to do toward your brothers and sisters in Muslim before. And then we'll summarize, inshallah, the end of the lesson. That after the Adhan, like I said, or something, we'll summarize everything, all the subjects, so it's clear in our mind what is the meaning of brotherhood, what we have been saying in the khutbah, past few khutbahs and that, what is the beauty, how Allah emphasized on it, how Rasulullah presented it, and how the companions, all this, inshallah, will be summarized in a few minutes, so everyone has a grip of all the whole subject. Last time, the last thing we were mentioning is not to do envy. Don't be envious towards your brothers and sisters, especially the ones Allah favored them with something you don't have in your hand. You find someone who are rich, someone of children, someone rich, you are not, someone have a rich position, you're not, someone else, like that. So you shouldn't have envy. Envy means you wish that whatever that brother or sister is doing to perish, to be demolished, to go away, even if it doesn't come to you. You don't care coming to you or not. I'm not talking about you, but I'm just, for the purpose of speaking. So the person is wishing that this thing goes away from the hand of his brother or sister, regardless. There's three parts. One is a person is wishing that whatever his brother or sister is enjoying should go away from their hands regardless where it goes. Just doesn't want to see his brother or sister happy. One, which is the worst type. Comes after that, a person that wants himself to have that. So wants his brother to lose his business, but I want to have that business. Wants his brother to lose that family, but I want to have that family. This kind of thing. Which is also bad. Then the third one, to wish that you should have something like that person. Which is recommended and one with two conditions. Two conditions. Number one, your intention is to do good if that person is doing good. Or to do good if that person is doing bad as well. So someone is having a millionaire, say, Ya Allah, I wish to have money like him, so I do like him if he is good, he's spending. But if he's bad, he's spending it in corruption. So, Ya Allah, I wish to have the same money, I would have spent it for your cause. The second condition, always this kind is not called envy, but it will call ghibta. Ghibta means that's what we explain. That's how I explain it now. You wish to have the same like the person, but you do for the sake of Allah. So the one condition to have the sake of Allah. Number two condition is, it shouldn't be in the affairs of life. It should be always in the affairs of hereafter. So if you see a person knowledgeable, say, Ya Allah, I wish to have the same knowledge which will help me to be in Jannah. Someone praying more, say, Ya Allah, I want to be pious like that person, to be closer to you, like that. More. In the dunya, in the matters of dunya, Prophet said two things only. A person who knows Quran and he is teaching with the teachings of Quran and the Islam among people, so you wish to do like him, so you benefit others. Or a person Allah gives him money, so he is spending it in the good. Those are the two people you should wish to have what they have, not anything else. Otherwise, it will be a state of life. It will go away anyway, because our life is very short. So, we agree now on that. So, a person envy with bad eyes, that you have a bad eye to the person. They say that, you have a bad eye to them. Oh, wow, how it takes that. And we said how you avoid that, even for yourself. Because each and everyone have that part inside of him. Everyone. That's why Allah said, وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. And from the evil of the envious person when he envies. That means there is a lot of people who are envious, but they don't envy. Okay? So, whenever you see something, Allah teaching us in the Quran, okay? لَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا إِلَّهُ. So, whenever you see something you like, what do you say? Very important. You will be used to it, you will have even your house, even your wife, even your spouse, even your children. Even your job, you feel like, mashallah, you did a good job. Like, I studied and I understood that question, which nobody else understood. For students, mashallah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. You were able to explain to someone something which is very hard. You say about yourself, mashallah, alhamdulillah, a'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajeem. Because shaitan will try to get in your heart, oh, you are a big guy, you did what everybody else couldn't do. When you enter your house, bismillah, mashallah, when you see your child is smart, wow, that's it. You did not want to say that, mashallah. You write his head like that. So it's very, very important to save yourself from your own envy. And when you see someone envy, what you do? You say the same thing, plus you read Qul'a Uzzur Rabbil Salaam. And Qul'a Uzzur Rabbil Salaam. It's very important. When someone comes to you as a guest, regardless if it's good or bad, you should do that. When you enter your house, you should have that before you sleep every day. You read this, Allah protects your house till the next morning, like that, all the time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us not to do this. It's very important verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُولِهُ بِالْإِذْ Count with this. If you tell كَثِيرًا مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بَعْضَ الظَّنِّيَةِ Avoid a lot of bad assumptions about your brothers and sisters. Because most of it is sin. So always give the good assumptions about your brothers. Even if you are sure that they are bad. Right? You say, oh, he meant this to do this, 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 this. Or he did this to, like, for that purpose. Even if you are sure, 99%, maybe 1% you didn't do for this. So always think good, until it becomes one. Yeah, prove the other one. Like the defendant is innocent until proven guilty. Not the other way around, like nowadays, nowadays. Nowadays it is reversed now. So we are not like that. Muslims who are too good about the brothers and sisters until they are proven otherwise. Before that you shouldn't. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, لَا تَظُنَّنَّ لِأَخِيكَ سُوءًا Never feel bad about your brother. وَأَنْتَ تَجِدُوا لِقَوْلِهِ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ مَحْمَلًا As long as you are finding a good interpretation for it. Doesn't mean what he meant. It doesn't matter what he meant. Or she meant. As long as this thing can be interpreted good, interpreted good. And be careful as well. So, yeah, don't say, oh, you're good. No, be careful. Take your caution. But always say, maybe he means the good one. Don't say, maybe he means the bad one. Alright? So that's number one. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا Do not spy on each other. Do not spy on each other. And in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَفِي رُوَيَا وَلَا تَحَسَّسُوا تجسس تحسس. He just took the gene, dot away from the gene in Arabic, it becomes a different word. He even the dots in Arabic, opposite the verses, تجسس تحسس. See, ha, gene. Take ha, put gene. One dot only, makes a big difference. So here, Rasulullah said, لا تقاطعوا, do not divide, like, do not desert each other. وَلَا تَدَبَّرُوا Do not give your back towards each other when you are need or hurt. وَلَا تَبَغَّضُوا Do not hate each other. وَلَا تَحَاسَدُوا Do not envy each other. You explain that. وَقُولُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا And be brothers for the sake of Allah. We explain that in the khutbah today. Should be for the sake of Allah. And it is not allowed for a Muslim to desert his Muslim brother for more than 3 days. And we explained that last time. Only for life affairs. If it is for the religion, I deserve him for life if he does not want to come back to Allah. I verse him 1, 2, 3, said that day, I'm not gonna talk to you until you fix your relationship with Allah. After you advise of course many times. So that person insists and declares I'm not gonna go pray. Alright? Say. And we still give you examples last time. Tajassus, what is the difference between tajassus and tahassus? Tajassus. Searching for the news that you want to scare the people about with. Searching for the secret, or searching for the hidden things about your brothers and sisters. Searching. Trying to get the means by which you will get to that. So, is not voluntarily coming to your ears? No. You are looking for that. You know there's newspapers? Looking for the problems of the people. A couple there, good. So they will go behind them trying to dig, to find a problem. Because this is fine. Trying to go find a news which doesn't appear in the public, to make it public. Or to know it, to hurt the person. تحسس الاستماع الى حديث القول. Like some people they are whispering. and you passed him by, so he heard it, he stopped and he left. Okay, so it just came to your ear, volunteer. But when you insist, this is a different issue now. Just came like that, I have to. Or go put your ear on the doors of the people to see or to listen. And this is the hadith that I narrated with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One person, he came and looked from that hole of the door for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had something in his hair which has like a medium type of edge. And he told him, Wallahi, if you stayed longer, I would have poked your eye with it, and there is no money for that. There is no rent of money for it. I just took it, because this is what you deserve. This is your punishment for the ones who find the people. Someone put in his ear, someone put an iron, steel iron in his ear, alright, that's good. Do it. Someone spying on you looking with his eye through your door hole or door knock or something, do it like this. This is what Islam telling you to do. So you shouldn't inspire the others. Everyone has Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, min hadith, whoever covers a Muslim, Allah covers him in the angel. Whoever helps a Muslim, through heart sin, Allah helps him through the heart sin of the day of judgment. You know that? And Allah is in the help of his servant as long as his servant is in the help of his brother. As long as you are serving him for the sake of Allah, Allah also will be in his service, inshallah, helping you out. So it is also counted there. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا دُونَاتِ That by each other. We said this, we will, inshallah, separate it. We will have different sessions about that by each other and how it is. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَكَ حَسَبُوا Don't envy each other. ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا ولا يبع بعضكم على بعض بيضا. Meaning, what we see now in the business life, in the auction, for example, someone is selling that thing, or wants to sell that thing. So he wants the highest price, right? So he will hire a couple of people. So tell them you increase the price. You are not buying, but you just increase the price. For the other person, if he wants that thing, when he finds people interested in it, then, you know, they increase a couple of times, then you'll ask the people, okay, you increase. They increase on their ground. So it goes up, 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 and then he takes that. This is haram to do that. It is haram to do this. Also, the other side is haram. I want to purchase something from you. And you said, this is $100. And you said, all right, it's yours. You said, I'll give you the money, inshallah, and I'll figure it out. So another person comes and says, I'll give you 100 cents, but don't give it to me. This is haram as well. You cannot do that. وَلَا يَبَعْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى مَا يَبَعْ Do not sell something for two people. It happened during the time of the Prophet. Remember a few khutbas ago, we said that Bedouin who had a good camel, and the Prophet liked that camel. He told him, Ya Arab, O Bedouin, you send me that camel? He said, yes, I'll sell it to you, Muhammad. He said, how much is this much? I said, deal. When I go to Medina, I'll give you the money, I will take the camel. The deal is done. So when they, before they reached Medina, were companions of the Prophet, they didn't know the deal. They didn't know that the Prophet asked for it. And the Bedouin did not tell him that the Prophet asked for it. Oh, I like your camel. So he said, yes, how much you want? He gave him a price which is more than the price of the Prophet. The companion doesn't know, by the way. If he knows, then this is a forbidden. But he told it to him. So the Prophet said, where is the camel? When he reached Medina, he said, I didn't tell you anything. He said, no, you told me something. And the story goes long, you know, until one of the companions said, no, you told him. I witnessed that. I witnessed that you told him, and Rasulullah said the truth. I witnessed that Rasulullah said the truth, and you told him. He didn't see anything, his companion. He later he will explain his position. So, he said, the other guy said, all right, so that he, because someone witnessed. So that Rasulullah was asking that companion, what did you witness? He said, you were not there when I was buying it from him. He said, I witness that you don't say lies, that you say the truth. You are the Prophet of Allah, you never say lies. We believe you in revelation coming from heaven to you. But I'm not going to believe you that you told this Bedouin to purchase the camel. Of course you said it. If you say you said it, then you said it. That's what I witnessed. Okay? So the quote here I'm quoting is, the person sold it to wife for the highest price. Once you commit it to someone, then you don't change the deal, except with his permission. Brother, I have some bit of offer.
yardımını veriyor, oluyoruz. That's another issue. But you cannot do it.
The other side is, you don't increase the price for the third party, so you can get more money from that country.
That is another issue. فَلَا عَبَى الْعَبَى 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 يقول عباد الله إخوانا أبي برغر الشكور بشك of Allah. Then also Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told us, do not cheat or deceive each other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described those people, they will have great punishment in the day of judgment, that you accuse their brothers and sisters with something they never did. Sometimes people do this. They create a case and accuse that person with it, so he's a scandal. And it happened during the time of the Prophet. He accused his wife, Aisha, and the companion, the Sahaba, the Surah Al-Mu'attab, with something they never did. So Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ And those who hurt the mu'mineen, believers, men and women, بغير ما اكتسبوا, something they did not acquire or do. فَقَدْ احْتَمَلُوا مُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا They carry on their shoulders a great load of sin and responsibility. And this was in their after, of course. So, here we agree that never accuse somebody of something that he didn't do, or he just created it to hurt him or hurt his relationship. Also, a person doing sin, and then he accuses his brother or sister with it. Some people also do this. They do the problem, they do the mistake, and they put it in the shoulders of someone else. Especially in the workplace, business affairs, they will steal money or something, and they will accuse it on the poor treasure or accountant or something like that. Because he's the one with the same, like, okay, but someone is talking about the same, and he's the one bookkeeper and everything, and they will do a fee or something, they will steal the money from them, and whoever doing the, at the end of the year, doing the review at the end of the year, who is going to be stuck with it? The guy who's taking care of it. So people did the same, did the crime, and they accused someone of it. Someone knows that that person is coming to visit that guy this time. They go kill him, and that guy comes and seeing the scene crime. All the movies, they do this kind of thing. Right? They teach the people to accuse each other, subhanAllah, with something they never did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about it, وَمَنْ يَكْسِبْ خَطِيئَةً أَوْ إِثْمًا Whoever acquire or commit a sin or a crime. ثُمَّ يَرْضِهِ بَرِيئًا And then he accused an innocent person with it. Okay? In a national scale, government scale, or individual scale. All the same. فَقَدْ احْتَمَلَ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا Again, he is carrying on his shoulder the sin in this life of the day. If country didn't do something, someone else did, and the other country knows, but they accused, so they are powerful. That's wrong. If someone accused someone, they didn't do something wrong. Individual, family, workplace, government, national, international. All the same. Apply to this. All this is applied to us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, من غشّر فليس منا. Whoever deceives us, he is not among us. Whoever deceives us, he is not among us. Also a leader, he cannot cheat or deceive his followers. Cannot do that. Once they give you responsibility, you have to serve the people according to their responsibility. Once you are not able, say, I cannot do. Find someone else. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ He will be never a servant. يَسْتَرْعِيهِ اللَّهُ رَعِيَّةً That Allah gives him responsibility of a group of people. يَمُوتُ يَوْمَ يَمُوتُ When he dies, هُوَ غَاسٌ لِرَعِيَتِهِ And he dies in the state of deception from his followers or the people under him. إِلَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ Jannah, paradise become forbidden to him. He cannot enter paradise. Praying, fasting, hajj, from Islam. Very, very important when you are fortunate to have employees. You are the leader of some group, somehow. Allah gives you the responsibility. Do not deceive, do not cheat. This is complete disaster for you in this life and this life. Also, you cannot betray. Betrayal. Someone trusts you in some manner. Don't betray either money, or if you take care of my business until I come back, or here is this deposit, or here is this thing, take care of my house, take care of my flat, this kind of thing. Cannot betray, you have to do as you cannot, I cannot take care. And this I cannot take care, I'm sorry. If you can take care, you cannot refuse also. So this is duty. Those are things very, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the beginning of Surah Al-Ma'idah, يا أيها الذين آمنوا أولهم أوفوا بالعقود fulfill your contract. When you make a contract with someone, agreement, you have to fulfill it. And also, Allah says, وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا. Description of the believers, that they fulfill the commitment when they make a covenant. Also Allah said, وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا. And have you also fulfilled the covenant, because you'll be responsible and ask about it in this judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from the hadith by the way, listen to it. This hadith is agreed upon. Rasulullah arba'un said, arba'un. Rasulullah said, arba'un, four things. Man kulla fi, when they exist in a person, kana munafiqun khalisan, he would be a pure hypocrite. So man kana fi khisufun minhun, and if one of them existed in the heart of the person, not the fourth, only one, كانت فيه خصلة من النفاق حتى يدعها. You will have one attribute of hypocrisy until he leaves it. Not hypocrisy, not pure hypocrisy, but he has some of the attributes of that hypocrisy until he leaves it, he will become a believer again. Number one, إذا أتمنى خان, when somebody is Muslim with something, he betrays it. وإذا حدث كذب, and when he talks, he say lies, he speaks lies. وإذا عهد غدر, when he makes a covenant, he breaks it, betrays the covenant. That's the other one. Someone entrusts you, betray it. You make a covenant or a promise to someone, you break it. Two different things. So the three, وَإِذَا خَاصَ وَفَجَرَ, when he deserts or abandons someone, he hurts him. فُزُور, يعني لَدَتْ وَخُصُومَ. Meaning, our business is not good. So I'll just desert you. And not only that, but I'll try to do my best to hurt you. That is the action of hypocrisy. Something didn't work for us, I have my good brother, salam alaikum wa alaikum salam, but it didn't work with us, did it? Husband and wife, same thing. Two partners, same thing. Working with you, same thing. But I don't hurt you, you don't hurt me. La darar wa la darar. It's very important to do that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, many hadith regarding all these issues. Also, you cannot hurt people by not explaining to them the danger that they can go to. But someone is walking in the road, you cannot leave them without advice. You cannot leave them without advice.
That they are about to face some danger coming in the road. We see, subhanAllah, some people, even they go worse than that. They find a blind person or something, they will take his hand to the door. Yeah, they will take their hand to the door to laugh on them. Wal-a'adhu-billah. So some people, not exactly with a blind person, but some people will deal with it as a trick. Practical jokes in their name is here. Okay, I'm just giving you the relevant thing. So we'll do practical joke on that person. That's not right. This is not the akhlaq of mu'mineen. You hurt someone to laugh on him. This is a practical joke, what's all the practical joke is all about. Okay? An innocent person who's not aware of what you're going to do to him, and you put him in a situation, he gets embarrassed or do something, he's not ready for everybody laughing at. That is not the action of Islam for Muslims. And unfortunately, a lot of Muslims do this. When that person comes, I'll do something, let's see what he's going to do. Alright, so this is not good, A'udhu Billah. Also, you should forgive if anyone does anything bad to you. See, the other side, subhanAllah, it is always, you shouldn't hurt the people, someone hurt you, you should be able to forgive also. But you avoid, if someone hurt you this way, or live present, avoid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Rasulullah, wa'a'ala ala al-jahileen. These people who does this silly thing, things of not Islamic stuff, so just go away from them. And also respect if the person is old, and have mercy if the person is young. Some people, when a child makes a mistake, they like want to kill that person. Kick him out, quick, the masjid, kick him out, give this out, or make a big if about it. It's not right there. How they're going to do the prayer then? They don't make mistakes. If he's your child, you'll do the same thing. Well, no. So this is how. Someone old, young man, oh, I'm hungry, I'm hurt, I'm this, cannot even wait. It's like some old person working with you. You walk fast. If someone like old with you, okay, you have to walk light, he moves. Don't hurt the feeling, respect. And the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, سائر من أمر كونوا قوامين بصف شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم be just for the sake of Allah even against yourself. So this is very very important. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث رواه البخاري لا يكتمل العبد الإيمان a mu'min or a believer will never be a complete believer unless he has three things حتى يكون فيه ثلاثة خصال three things الإنفاق من الإختار spend money to fight سبحان الله you resources to fight but you still give some kind of charity to people والإنفاق من نفسه give the people the right which you owe them but from someone else it's easy put on the money and say please give that to that brother but it is hard to do that yourself very sensitive brother why don't you brother why don't you give them the trust keep doing it أخي أتق الله في الله but if you are not all that tomorrow, inshallah, like this. No, at once, you send yourself to take Allah. Fear Allah, maybe you will die tonight. His brother has to forgive you, have to give him his right. That's very important. So, in top of the start, sending with Christ, give the right against yourself, on top of the message, or that will be salam. You start giving salam, don't wait for people to tell you salam alaykum. Or if you say, salam alaykum. So, the smart one is to say first. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, من سره أن يزحزح عن النار ويدخل الجنة فلتأتيه منيته وهو يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله وليؤتي إلى الناس ما يحب أن يؤتى إليه. So whoever life will go away from his fire and goes to be admitted to Jannah and be admitted to Jannah, let him die in a state of لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله عبد رسوله وليؤتي الناس أن يجد فيكم what he loves to be given if you like you to give him you have to give them same the next one always you forgive the mistake of someone didn't mean to do this you need to answer I'm sorry don't persecute him for that. He said, I'm not going to ever forgive you. Even if you come up with that, I will never forgive you. Who are you? Are you Allah? Subhanallah. Even Allah himself says, even if you do all the sins in the world and you come to me, I will forgive you. And I will never care about what you did. Allah said, you have to come sincere. And if I come sincere to you, and he said, I'm sorry, I hurt you, I did all the things, I did the horrible things to you. I hurt you so bad. I did enormous respect you and I'm sincere this time to give me a chance. Forgive me for the sake of Allah and you say, I must forgive you, you are sinful. You are sinful. Because if a person comes to you with that intention, as I said, always assume the good intention about your brother and sister and say it is proven otherwise. Subhanallah, it is very, very important. If you don't forgive, also someone you will hurt, you will not forgive. Okay? You not forget. That's why the ulama, the scholars said, you are getting consequences. Do not pray against the transgressor. Because if you pray, you took your hand to pray. Meaning, one, three things will happen. One, three things will happen. When you say, Ya Allah, take care of that person who hurts me and who troubles me and who disobeys me, Ya Allah, take your hand. Either Allah will hurt him, that person at once, in this life, in this world, in this right side. And you are done equal now. Because so your right stick, you ask, Allah responded. Responded, it was called three ways. One way, this one, I Allah take care of him in this life. Or, Allah will save you from a trouble which will come to you with the dua. So you will dua, there is a problem coming to you, so that prayer will prevent some problem will happen to you. So don't say that, I ask Allah, but he never responds, he didn't hurt that person. You are getting hurt also from somewhere, but Allah protects it so you can equal. Or Allah will save you with his judgment But you are going to help her something, Allah will protect you because of the dua of me, so you are equal. But your dua is accepted, so the Rasulullah said that the dua of the Muslim goes back to Allah, all the gates of heaven open, the Muslim is transgressed. All the gates of heaven is open, and Allah says, لَأَنْظُرَنَّ فِي غَلَوْ بَعْدَ See, I will give this to you even after a while. Take it from deep. But the ulama say that it's better not to do that. Why? Because because of the discussion, everyone is in need for one hasan, one good deed. Right? But the mazalim, first thing Allah will judge among people. Yeah, it says, you owe this, all right. That's it, you will find in Jannah. Even if he back, you go to Jannah, find people waiting for him. You hurt me, you transgress me, I'm not going to get it out. You owe me 100 salah. I will take the reward of 100 of your salah. Right now. So, you take it. If you are going to the fire, you go to Jannah. If you are going to Jannah in the first level, you become in the fourth level. So, wait until then. Then, there is no Muslim who comes back to you. He cannot. There is no charity. He cannot look up to life to fix, or he cannot apologize. Go and go to the accept. They say, Ya Allah, this person hurt me. You want to just don't give me what I said now in Yawm al-Qiyamah. But, subhanAllah, the person who gives him transgressions all the time, inshaAllah, he's lucky that they're just, he stands up, he is proud, because everyone transgresses them. Alright, I want my right now. Ya Allah, you want to just tell me properly? Okay, I want it here. But, subhanAllah, is it there? Wait, be patient and wait, or you take your right in this life, short life, and you fulfill your ego. You know your ego? That's the only thing that you want, by the way. When somebody transgresses you, you want to see him hurt. Why? Ah, see? Because we did good deeds. That's what happened to us. You deserve it. So there is some ego involved in there. It's somebody who wants to shut. No. For the sake of Allah, he says, حَسْبِي اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ وأطول أمري إلى الله. الله يكفيك. Please, inshallah. So if anyone comes to forgive, ask him for forgiveness. Like a father, inshallah, always forgive his children. A father always has a big heart, by the way. So whoever a father will understand this. Some people say, you want to beat him up, beat your ass, beat your ass. When you cool down and say, and they come to ask, sorry, we accept. Even you know that they are going to do the same mistake 10 times. You still don't have, you don't have a choice. You accept. But if you reject, you have a tough heart. And you find, by the way, some parents, they, I know parents as well, they pretend to feel like, oh, I don't want you to do this. But from inside, their heart is like getting squeezed. They want their children to be good. Like that. And if someone accuses their children, they are responsible for the defense. Even their children are bad. No one wants his children to be dead. So, that's how we should behave with each and everyone. Remember that you can be in the same place one time. If you are young and forgiving, not forgiving, maybe you get old and people will not forgive you. If you are old and not forgiving, maybe the judgment, some people will transgress and they will not forgive you. But if you forgive, who? Maybe someone, subhanAllah, you made a mistake or you heard, they will say, Allah forgive him also. You are forgiven, yes. No, the dua is done, tell me, yeah, Allah is going to it. So either you make dua, that's why Allah advised us, because you are in a state of anger, anything can happen. So the moment, because a lot of people say, Sheikh, I did it because I was angry. Oh, she did it because you are angry. What else you do? If you are cool, you don't do that. Sheikh, I hit him because I was angry. I understand. Because if you are not angry, you will hit him. So this is the real test. When you are angry, don't hit him. Not when you are not angry. You understand my point? When you are not angry, it's very simple to control yourself. But Allah is asking you to control yourself in the time which is hard to control yourself. That's the real test. Tazmin al-Ghaib, Salam to Ayyadi. Tazmin al-Ghaib is boiling inside, I'm holding it. The next step, Fal'azmin al-Ghaib. Forgetting those who hurt you. Look to that. did the upper level, Allah will help the same. You do good to the ones who did bad to you. Imagine that. Imagine that. SubhanAllah. So all this cover up for the Muslim brothers if they did something and they made a mistake, and go advise. But if they insist, this is another rule. If they insist on it, you have to warn the people, you have to send the leader, you have to do something to make them change their thoughts. But if you can afford. But if someone is doing something, you should cover. No, let's go around. Oh, I saw that person, you're doing this and this. No. This is not the rules of this land. You can cover, and then advise. The brother is terrific, alhamdulillah. Again, 3, 4, 10 times. Then after that, I'm going to warn everyone from you, because you are even. This is even now. And this is allowed backbiting, by the way. So one of the cases that backbiting is allowed. When someone is really doing disobedience and he's insisting on it. So you want people, especially if he's going to go meet partner with someone, or he's going to go here and there, this is very important. This is one people. If he did one mistake, two mistakes, and he repeats to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he insists, this is another thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاصْفَحْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Forgive them, those who hurt you. And what Rasulullah did when he opened Mecca? Tell me. When he opened Mecca, after 10 years, from everything, he kicked them out. They killed Hamza, his uncle, and they were all types of problems with their men. And when he went, the Sahaba, the companions, some of them were overjoyed. No, today we're going to kill, today we're going to punish those people, today we're going to revenge. Prophet, no, today we're going to honor them, today we're going to forgive, today is the day of forgiveness. And he goes, his head down. And so this hidden thing comes as a nation, and all that. When you win, someone pressure you, hurt you, you know, at that time, this is the time you should show humility to Allah. You should show at that time special humility to Allah. His head was down to the point that the Sahaba said, his head was touching the back of the ride, the horse or the camel. He was going down like that, and so he doesn't want people to feel like he's proud. Then he said, what you came to Allah to with you? Said, you are a good brother, a son of a good brother. Said, you go free. Only be forgiven. Allahu Akbar. That doesn't come from a person who really controls himself, and he is the best of mankind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, best of creation, and he shows us to follow. Not only to repeat the story, to follow. At the time you really can learn, you should forget. That is the real control of the person. لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ السُّرَعَةِ. The strong person is not the person who brings people down on the floor. ولكن الشديد من يملك الاستعانة الغضب. The real tough person is the one who controls himself when he's angry. You find a small guy, he's a big muscle guy. He says, he's going to be tough. All right. But he says, oh, I'm going to be tough. He carried him up and he put him on the floor. Now you are that strong person. Because everybody knows that you can beat him. Everyone knows that you can beat him. You just blow him, you get a slap. But he said, all right. May Allah forgive you. Okay. But what else should I do? Yeah, it's ignorant. But you don't need to prove your sin by showing your muscles. I'm going to squeeze you on the cheek. No. All right. I don't want to fight. That's how a real strong person is. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also gave one of the descriptions, subhanAllah, about good believers, and he said, وَأَنْ تَعْفُوا عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكْ. And he forgave the one who transgressed you. That is very important. Also, you help if the person needs your help, and you intercede if the person needs your intercession. Of course, it's a good thing. Not to give him a right that he doesn't deserve, because people don't understand this. There is a difference between intercession and the good thing, and favoritism. My son or my brother does not qualify for that job, but I know the person who will interview. Okay? So his qualification is underqualified. There is someone else qualified for that job. So because he's my son and I know that person, I go to him and interview for my son or my brother, so he gets the job. Haram. Not right. If he deserves the job and he already is very big considerate, he can intercede for this and that thing. no problem with this. Or someone you know that he can have a good bit of chance if that person listens to him, or the person see him, or says to his knowledge. And you go to achieve, that's very important. Like some many big scholars, they are very, very, very busy. If you go to them, give their hands, please give me your student. I want to listen to you. I don't have time. You don't have time? He really doesn't have time. And he wants to know that you are worthy of knowledge. For ilm, it has to be hard. It has to be hard to get. You have to knock the door once, twice, and reject, until you get in, inshallah. من داوى وطرق الباب ورد. Whoever keeps knocking, he will get in one day. What you want, we ask you already. That's simply what you want. We will buy me all the time. And after a while, you will respond to you. So, if that person is smart and knowledgeable, inshallah, and I know that alim, I am one of the close things that the Sheikh, why you don't listen to his recitation? Why you don't listen to him, see his knowledge? Maybe you deserve. So, this is a decision, it's kind of good. Okay, but not the other one. To this someone, I put him in hand. So, last thing is, when someone asks you, for the sake of Allah, please help me, brother. For the sake of Allah, do not excuse me, brother. You have to respond to that. If you don't, you're sorry. Someone did a mistake, or did a sin, or did something wrong. Of course, which does not involve the crime. You cannot cover that. But you simply please, do not tell anyone, and I promise you that I will live. Alright? I will just say. So you have to do help that brother and accept that from him as long as he has good intention. And also when a person does something good, you, inshallah, you are good. If you continue with him, bonus. This kind of thing very allowed, very, very emphasized in Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من استعاذكم بالله فأعينوه ومن سألكم بالله فأعطوه ومن دعاكم فأجيبوه ومن صنع إليكم معروفا فكافئوه فإن لم تجدوا ما تكافئونه به فادعوا له حتى تروا أنكم قد كافأتموه. مثل حديث رواه أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي والحاكم وحديث حسن في الإسلام. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever refused in you to seek your protection or your help from something, give him protection and help for the sake of Allah, of course. And whoever asks you with the name of Allah, give him, please give me from what Allah gave you. Give him. May Allah please help me out. Give him. Because he put Allah in the middle here. He put Allah as his intercessor here. Very important. ومن دعاكم فأجيبوا. Whoever invites you, respond to the invitation as long as for the sake of Allah. ومن صنع إليكم معروفا. Whoever do good deed to you, reward him. Reward back. Give a gift for something. This is good for Islam. As long as it is for the sake of Allah, not for other things. You have to take this for the sake of Allah. And if you don't find anything to give him as a reward, make dua. Jazakumullah khair. That's what you say to everyone. Wa jazakum wa iyyak. Thank you. So instead of saying thank you, say jazakum Allah. I cannot reward you enough. So who is going to reward you the best? Allah. So you are giving him the best reward of all. So when someone says jazakumullah khair, actually he's giving you more than you can get. If you want to, yes. But if you find that person is doing it as a job or as this thing, avoid. Because Allah said, قول معروف ومغفرة قول مسرقاتنا بعض. If you say good things and you don't hurt, it's better than you get a sabqa with reputation. So you give a person, I'm giving him and I know that he doesn't deserve it. No more. Don't give them. Okay? So either you give and you don't ask, you don't talk about it, you didn't do anything, and Allah is the one who accepts. So same thing, regardless of the person, you need to or not. Regardless. But if you have that thing in your heart, oh, he's saying that the profession, he's saying this and that, then it's not for the sake of Allah now. Come down, so don't give now. Give to someone who really needs, deserves. And they are believing more than the people who are asking now. Yeah, you can make sure that that person is deserving that thing. And by the way, there is priority in that case. Priority. If you ask someone in need, give him first before that person will come and ask you. Okay? Fuqara first. Fuqara first. It's the same thing. You can. Allah accepts. Allah is the one who accepts subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like there is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Sahih that person one time he went and he said, today I'm going to give sadaqa for the sake of Allah. And then there is a woman asked, or he woke in the street and he found some woman needing sadaqa. So he gave sadaqa. So in the morning he said, oh, he gave a sadaqa to a prostitute. She was a prostitute. She doesn't deserve a sadaqa. But his intention was what? To give for the sake of Allah, but whoever gives the sadaqa, he doesn't deserve it. So he said, I give a zaleel, alhamdulillah ala zaleel, alright. But he feels that his suicide is not in the right place. Okay? So next day he goes, and he finds a person, he asks him for sadaqa. So he gives the sadaqa. Then in the morning he says, oh, he gives the sadaqa to the thief. He owns the thief. Alright? Sadaq, alright, alhamdulillah ala sadaq, thank Allah. So third day he goes and he is invited to put all this, he's taking the sadaqa to accept it. It's not the right place. He put the sadaqa in the hand of a person. And in the morning he said, oh, he gives sadaqa to a rich man. Rich. A rich man who begs people because it's the last of the night. So he knows the patient. So he says, alhamdulillah ala ghani. Then Allah sent him an angel, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the form of a man. And he told him, أَمَّا صَدَقَتُكَ فَقَدْ قُبِلَتْ. Your sadaqa, first, second, third, is accepted. Regardless whoever gives it. Clear hadith now? فَأَمَّا الزَّارِيَةِ فَعَلَهَا تُسْتَعِدْ. Maybe the prostitute, when she finds the money without doing prostitution, she would think, oh, subhanAllah, I can get money from somewhere without doing prostitution, so she would make her think. And the thief, he will, فَلَعَلَّهُ يَتُوبُ. فَلَعَلَّهُ يَتُوبُ. That means that maybe he said, I said that I'm not stealing, that Allah give me money, subhanAllah, someone just give me money in my hand. So he repents to Allah. وَأَمَّا الْغَنِيِّ فَلَعَلَّهُ يَسْتَحِقُّ. Maybe that rich person who said, subhanAllah, there is still people giving money without asking them rich or poor. So he stopped talking to them. So maybe your sadaqa can be a reason. So Allah takes care of that. But you give. You don't want to give? Get someone who is really in need and say you give for sadaqa. But you give, you have to give with clear heart. Someone opens his hand, Christians who this way, this. You don't know, you are not going to ask him, what's your religion? Say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. You don't do that here. You don't do this. Either you give or you don't give. You have the option. But once you give, leave it in the hand of Allah. It's kept in the hand of Allah before. If he really needs it, alhamdulillah, he's very cool. If he doesn't need it, Allah punish him and reward him. Right? So this is very important. Adam? So do the Adam, inshallah, we will summarize everything else. So, the Uquwa in Islam, or the Uquwa literally, is mentioned in Quran, in many places. Kuffar are brothers in the kufr. Disbelievers are brothers in the belief. The cursed people are brothers in the way they are cursed from Allah. The people of Hellfire, they will be brothers, groups, brothers, the groups, after a group, they curse each other. Allah mentioned in the Quran. And Allah mentioned the servants are your brothers, your servants like your brothers and sisters. Do not consider them low level people. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he called Musa alayhi salam, when Musa alayhi salam needed someone real help, he asked for his brother's help. And when Allah responded to him, he said, we'll give you strength with your brother. And the person who committed the major crime, the first crime he can do, his brother. So the brother is so emphasized in Quran. Each and every tribe, or each and every nation. When Allah described the prophet, he said he was their brother. Nuh, Qawm Nuh, Qawm Musa, Qawm Saliha, Qawm Shu'ayba, Qawm Lut, Qawm this brother. So prophet comes as a brother to you. So a teacher is like a brother to you. You will consider it something else. That way you will understand how you will get the benefit better. When two people, two angels came to Dawood alayhi salam, he was just among them, they came from the form of two brothers. Inna the akhi, my brother has this and I have that, to judge among us, brother. So brother is the closest to faith. And when Allah described the believer in Quran, he said, believers are brothers. And we said when you say brother, he's brothers and sisters, of course. Your brother should be your shortcut to the forgiveness of Allah, not otherwise. If a brother will prevents you from being close to Allah is not your brother. So if you can have a hukum or hukum ikhwanat, if they are dearer to you than Allah and being hukum, then you are not a good believer. If your brother is not a brother, as long as he is not helping you to be a Muslim. Clear? That's a clear cut. And also when the believers, they do the dua to Allah, prayer. They pray for themselves and for their brothers. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا. The dua of the people before, and this should be our dua as well. And also Allah describes the people of Jannah. When they enter Jannah, they enter Jannah's brothers and sisters, subhanAllah. Allah says, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ إِخْوَانًا. And we took all the grudges, cleaned their chest from all the grudges that they had, and we gave them brother and sister. Very important. So also from the Sunnah of the Prophet, mention numerous hadith, al-Muslim, akhul Muslim, al-Mu'min, akhul Mu'min, ما كان له عند أخيه مظلما. Quran, even the people, one kills the other person. Allah said, the family of the deceased or the killed person, brother or the other one. The one who killed, for mistake, يعني. When you kill someone, don't hate him, he's your brother. فمن عفي له من أخيه شيئا. He killed someone of the family member. Subhanallah. This is very, so that's the high level of love of brothers. And Rasulullah gave us many hadith which we mentioned that the do's and the don'ts towards your Muslim brother and sister. We said that in Mecca, when the time of Mecca, Rasulullah was in Mecca, it was hard to demonstrate the brotherhood or ukhuwa for the sake of Allah, because everyone was persecuted for their aqidah or their belief. Everyone. It was hard in the Mecca time to Rasulullah and the followers of Islam to show their brothers and each other, because everyone was against them and hurting them in their aqidah for their belief. It's very hard. But when they went to Medina, what happened? They loved, they demonstrated that love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the Sahaba were great, great examples and role models in showing the different forms of brotherhood. Hadith, very, very beautiful hadith of Rasulullah, of Abdullah ibn Abbas, that he is asking Umar ibn Khattab, Umar ibn Khattab, who are the two women that Allah told him in the Quran, if you repent to Allah, Allah will forgive your sins. He said they are the two wives of Rasulullah, Aisha and Hafsa, when they made a plan, and then Rasulullah abandoned home his wife, and then, you know, he returned back after they repented to Allah, teaching us. So he is saying in the long hadith that Umar ibn Khattab said to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, see, when we were in Mecca, we were strong men, we have control of our women. But when we came to Medina, we find that our brother, see, even he doesn't like their behavior, but doesn't say, our brothers from Ansar in Medina, we find them that they are giving a big stress to their women. Yeah, Umar ibn Khattab, this thing was, subhanAllah, away from him. How come a woman just have a place to say and tell her opinion on this? This is the difference. When someone is this big one, you know, atmosphere, tough, mountains, and, but when someone living in the city, always they are smooth going, easy going. There's not something wrong with the habit of the person. So, what he is saying that when our woman came here, they learned it from the women of the Ansar. Said it because arguing with us too much, Ya Rasulullah. So Rasulullah smiled. That means, alright, this is not something great, you know, you should give a treat to your wife also. Yeah, when Rasulullah smiled, that means it's alright. If it's something wrong, you know, you think, I would have made a comment on it. But this is not a smile. So here we learn that how the Umar al-Khattab, even radiallahu anhu, when he doesn't like or think that it's something bad his brother shouldn't do, he said it to the man, brother, that's one thing. And in the same hadith, also Umar al-Khattab said they are brothers. And the Sahaba, companions of the Prophet, when they heard or they thought that the Rasulullah divorced all his wife, all of them shared the same feeling of getting worried about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of them. No one like to talk like that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam is angry, someone hurt his feelings, we should be all like one heart, care about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, caring about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's how it is. Now when you find someone abandoned the sunnah, actually what is it? What is it? It's no good. Muslims are one. This is the second quote in the hadith. The third quote in that long before the hadith, Umar ibn al-Khattab said, I used to go down one day, and my brother from Ansar used to go one day, get the teaching of Rasulullah, and we teach each other. So they don't miss. One takes care of the business one day, one takes care of the business another day. One to go to the one day, one goes like that. So we don't. So I hope we have that thing exists among us. We said also how the importance of brother more than the son. Some people will maybe agree, but it is the true thing. When Allah talks in His judgment, a person, the mujrim, the criminal, he wants to give anything for the sake of his redemption or for his saving from hellfire. To be saved from hellfire, he will really to give anything. How Allah tells us the things He will give? The other mujrim will study in Al-Adhari Yawmizim, be ready. First thing, He will sacrifice His children. He will give, He will say, Allah, take my children, so save me from His father. وَصَاحِبَتِ His spouse, His wife, second. Then وَأَحِي, His brother, last one. Look how Allah counts it. See, 1, 2, 3. But subhanAllah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the brother, He mentions the brother first all the time. First, our brother, Ya Allah, our brother. So this is very, very important. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us how the Sahaba or the companions, the Ansar, the Ahl people of Medina, when they were in Medina, they loved their brothers to go to them. And the brothers, when they migrated, they loved not to use or exploit the resources of their Ansar brothers. Very important. Very, very important. And they used to prepare the brothers on themselves. And today, the khutbah you heard, you listened to the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, as Allah Almighty said, we were in a time that we don't love that money to be in the hands of anyone more than our brothers. We love our brothers more than anyone to have that money I have. I want my brother to have, but now we are in a time that we love the money more than our brother. That's something at his time. Now it is worse. Now we will send our brothers for money. You will send them for money. Yeah, like that. See, the first one, you love the money to be in your brother's hand more than yourself. Then you love the money more than your brother, but still you love your brother at least. Then after that, you hate your brother. Then after that, you will send your brother to get the money. And we don't know what's coming. I'm a khafiq and adam now. So this is very important to know about brotherhood in Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw the people, when he was in Isra and Mi'raj, going through the trip to the heaven, and he saw some people getting punished by some pieces of their flesh getting away from, you know, from the angels, or their punishment is that the angels, they are cutting their flesh from the side. Who are those? Rasulullah is asking you here. He says, those are the people from your ummah who used to mock their brother. He doesn't understand anything. This is the punishment. So never mock anyone, never belittle anyone, never despise anyone. We extend that last time. Be very careful. Even if how maybe Allah has to forgive him, doesn't forgive you. Maybe he's forgiven. SubhanAllah. So be extra careful. Alhamdu wallamdu. And we said that many, many duties towards the Muslim, towards the Muslim brother. I'm not gonna repeat that again because we explained it in detail. To advise, to love for them what you love for yourself, to protect them, to not to betray them, not to insult them, to defend them, many, many, many things, numerous things to mention. And subhanAllah, we will give to finish the session today, we will give some of the stories, little stories of people how they love each other for the sake of Allah and how they consider this as something important in their life. You know, not only the Sahaba. Sahaba was like the sun in the sky. But those the followers, and the followers, and the followers. Some people like you and me, like something we can do. What we can do to establish and get back those something which is destroyed with the solutions now. We need to do all the things that Allah told us. But how? With little things. We start with little things. And the love and the hatred should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who love each other. Rasulullah said in the hadith that there will be on member. You know member? This member? This member. But from life. With their judgment. That means everybody can see them. يَحْسُدْهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ وَالصَّالِحُونَ. The prophets and the messengers and the festival, which is, wow, how beautiful this is. Who are those? Are they prophets like us? But they are better than us. Allah said, no. And Rasulullah said, no, they are not. But those are the ones who used to love each other for the sake of Allah. And they are the children of each other for the sake of Allah. They are status like the prophets and the messengers, but they are not like prophets, but they are not prophets or messengers. So you help your brother for the sake of Allah? This is very, very important. But just for the sake of Allah, not for keeping anything else. And Rasulullah told us, by the way, when you love someone, you have to express that love. Tell the brother, brother, I love you for the sake of Allah. Not anything wrong. Because if you don't, that means you do not give him his right. You have to tell him that I love you for the sake of Allah, so he loves you back for the sake of Allah. So Rasul said, if you someone loves someone, go to him with how? And say, brother, I love you for the sake of Allah. How can I help you? Is there anything you can see? He's going to say to me if you need it. This kind of behavior we lack. We lack. Until somebody is dead, until somebody is sick, until someone is not, and say, oh, where is he? No, I want to go out. Why is he? Then someone is healthy. SubhanAllah, this is like love each other for the sake of Allah. And Rasulullah also said, المرء مع من أحب أو يحشر مع من أحب ابن كان. You will be with the one you love in the grave then. You will be with the one. One of the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, I cry whenever I remember. When you go to, if I go to Jannah, you are in this high place. I am in this low place. But I am not going to see you again. He said, you will be with the one you love. Allah will give you with the one you love all the time. Because when you love someone, you follow. You will do the advice. You will respond to them. Right or wrong. You love someone, all your senses, provide, he's following that person. So alright, make the love for the sake of Allah then. Love someone who's good, love someone who's knowledgeable, love someone who's quiet, righteous. They will take your hand to Jannah inshaAllah. May Allah make us all like that.
Al-Hasan al-Basri, qila lahu, ya Aba Sa'eed, kan fajikun yasir. Hasan al-Basri, one of the great Sa'eed, may Allah bless him and have mercy on him. It has been said to him, O Abu Sa'eed, what about a person who slaughters a goat and he invites his brothers to eat from it? What do you think about him? ماذا تقول في أبو سعيد؟ قال أين هؤلاء؟ ذهب هؤلاء. Where are these type of people? I think they are already gone. There is no such a person exists in our time. That was in his time. The time of Hassan Basri, whatever our time now, I don't know. Now you want to do food and everybody wants to hide and hide his children so no one else can participate with him in eating from that. Such an action is a bit of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he advised Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in the hadith to increase the soup if he is cooking meat. And increasing the soup means of course increasing the meat as well so you can give your neighbors. And also Rasulullah said that he will never be a complete believer, the one who believes full stomach while his liver is empty stomach or his liver is hungry. So this is again the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also Abu Khalda, one of the great scholars of Sahih, as well, this is saying, when we visit Muhammad ibn Sirin, he said, Khalna ala ibn Sirin, ana wa Abdullah ibn Awf, me and Abdullah ibn Awf, when we visit Ibn Sirin, يُرَحِّبُ بِنَا. He used to welcome us so warmly. وقال, and he used to say, لَا أَدْرِي كَيْفَ أُشْحِفُكُمْ. I don't know how I receive you, how I honor you. كُلْ رَجُلٌ مِنْكُمْ فِي بَيْتِهِ خُبْزٌ وَلَحْمٌ. Each and every one of you would have at his house meat and bread, meat, good food. وَلَكِنِّي فَأُطْعِمُكُمْ شَيْئًا لَا أَجِدُهُ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ فَكَانَ يَقْطَعُ بِالسِّكِّينِ مِنْ شُبْزَةِ عَسَلٍ. So he says, I know that each and every one of you have eaten bread in his house,
but I will give you something normally you don't have in your house. And he will get out pure fresh honey and he would feed them. رضي الله عنه أجمعين رحمه الله. قلت أبو جعفر محمد بن علي فنظر تابعين كان يدعو نفرا من إخوته كل جمعة ويطعمهم ويطيبهم ويبخرهم ويذهبون إلى الجمعة من عنده. He used to invite some of his dear brothers and friends and he invited them to his house in the morning of Jum'ah and he used to feed them and he used to give them perfume and he used to be very generous with them. They go out to the prayer from his house. Subhanallah. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, the great tabi'i, he used to go out very happy when he visits Sufyan ibn Uyayna. كان يخرج مسرورا من عند ابن عيينة فقيل له لماذا تخرج مسرورا فقال ردا على ذلك ولم لا وقد حدثني سفيان بأربعين حديثا وأطعمني خبيصا أي تمر وسم. So they ask him why every time you visit Sufyan ibn Uyayna you go out from there very happy and joyful. So he said how come I don't go out happy while he just narrated to me 40 hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he fed me butter and date, which was a very good, nice meal at that time. Shu'ayb ibn Harb, another one of those scholars, he said, كان حمزة بن زياد يقرأ القرآن والقرآن والحديث. حمزة بن زياد is one of the مقرئين صاحب قراءة من القراءات السبعة المتواترة. He used to teach them how to recite the Quran and at the same time he used to feed them with that butter and dates. Not only teaching feeding their brains and their souls but also feeding their tongues. There is an amazing statement of some of those great people. They said, إِذَا اسْتَقْبَلْتَ أَخَاكَ حَاجَةً فَلَمْ يَقْضِهَا فَذَكِّرْهُ فَلَعَلَّهُ لَكِهُ. If you ask your brother to do something for you and he does not do, so go and mind him. Because maybe he forgot. فإذا لم يقضها, but if he said not responding to you, فكبر عليه وقل الله أكبر and say, وقرأ and then recite the word of Allah Quran, والموتى يبعثه الله and the dead Allah will raise up the dead. And Allah is the one who will raise up the dead, means you are dead. And this is actually coming from the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلفت عن من كربة فلفت الله عنه كربة من كرب القيامة ومن يستر على معسر يستر الله عليه ومن سفر مؤمنا سفره الله والله في عون العبد ما دام العبد في عون أخيه which is one hadith in the earlier and quite Muslim from the hadith of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه وارضاه that whoever helps his Muslim brother out of hardship or out of annoyance and whoever supports his Muslim brother, whoever covers his Muslim brother, who is always in the help of his Muslim brother, Allah will help him, Allah will relieve his stress, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ease his hardship and the danger. One of them, those great scholars and great tabi'een of Rasulullah, Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to visit the children of his dead brother, take care of them until they grow up and defend them themselves. And also, those children, in return, when this person will die, they will visit his children. So it's a continuous work, it's a continuous khayr, it's a continuous good deed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. وليخشى الذين لو تركوا من خلفهم ذرية وهم بعاث الخط عليهم فليتقوا الله وليقولوا قولا سديدا وليصبروا فيه. That would leave young, dependent children after they die without help in this life. They do nothing but fear Allah, have taqwa to Allah, be pious and righteous, and say nothing but the word of truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help them out. One has a nice story, we learn all of it, a lot of things. That Abu Ubayd, one of the great tabi'een, he went to visit Ahmad ibn Muhammad, kamahullah, Imam Ahl Sunnah, so Abu Ubayd. With Ahmad ibn Muhammad. And when did he visit? So Ahmad ibn Muhammad went with him, accompanied him to the door of the house. So he told him, why you are doing that? If I will give you your rice, I will visit you every day, ya Imam. So Ahmad ibn Muhammad told him, Wallahi, I have many sincere, dedicated, close brothers. And they visit me once a year. So it is not a matter of they visit me every day.
and also he told them, why are you walking with me to the street, to the door of the house? So he told him, don't you? So he told him, Sha'bi, one of the first generation of Tabi'in, he said, from the completion or the perfection of the visit to your Muslim brother, that you walk him out to your door and you hold his life for him until he arrives there. So he said, wallahi, to himself, he said to himself about writing things, and he said, wallahi, I benefited 3 things from Imam Ahmad today. Even visiting him, just visiting him, teach you a lesson. Number one, he will sit with you and he will honor you. Number two, he taught me that it is not by how many times you visit, it is how close and how sincere you are to your brother. Number three is that you become so generous to your guest, even to the point to walk him out your door. All this is the visit is for the sake of Allah. Now, all the Muslim Ummah is busy with their life. They are busy with this material life. They are busy with accumulating wealth. They are busy with their nationality. They are busy with their ethnicity. They are busy with their borders and their land and the barriers, political barriers, economical barriers, social barriers, all types of barriers. And they created this whole issue of ethnicity, whole issue of judging the other on the basis of ethnicity. But this is not our religion. Our religion came to make all of us equal for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us build our religion once more on the basis of aqidah and sincere ukhuwah of brotherhood for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah accept our deeds. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر